This is Dialogue. Dialogue, a presentation of the Public Affairs and Special Events Department of KLRB News.
This is Dialogue Assassination with Research Specialist Mae Brussel. For KLRB, I'm Gloria Barron. Well, Mae, we have quite a few things to discuss today. Mae usually brings a table of contents that we plan to talk about on Dialogue, and today it's a two-page affair. So I think you wanted to talk a little bit about the past 11 shows that we have recorded.
Well, yeah, I think we
should. And then we'll go to the table of contents.
Okay? Well, we have a whole new audience now, Gloria, or a group of new listeners because of the two shows that I did on the peninsula this week, one on KIDD and a television on the cable television Sunday night. And a lot of people in the area who never knew about my research have called and responded to these programs, and a lot of people who knew about my research and did not realize how complete it was or what I was doing all these years were interested in hearing these particular shows and seeing it, and were not even aware of the KLRB show. So we have a group of students from the high school and some officers at Fort Ord, Navy Postgraduate School. A wide range of people were responding to these shows, and we welcome you as new listeners. And because you are new, the people that follow us each week or almost every week will have to bear with us while we do a little resume. I think it's appropriate, don't you?
I think so, yes.
We started this show 11 weeks ago, the end of June. I was invited as a guest to KLRB to discuss the break of the Pentagon Papers. They took so much attention in the news, and Gloria invited me to her show to talk about my research and did it pertain to the exposure coming out at this time in the New York Times of the Pentagon Papers. And we did a show that was played, it was 3 different hours, wasn't it, during
right.
the week?
Yes.
And we had a talk show and calls came in, and the response was fantastic. And as a result, I was invited again the following week to talk about the Pentagon Papers and my research on the John Kennedy assassination. And once more, the response was very good, and I was invited to come back, and we began a weekly series called Dialogue Assassination. And the purpose of bringing the program to you each week, my reason for going on the air at this time and the glorious interest in having me here, was to make the point that the political assassinations of Martin Luther King, President John Kennedy, Senator Robert Kennedy are not dead issues, that people do not know how much is in the daily news or weekly news about these particular assassinations. Now, in addition to those assassinations, we have many, many political murders, political assassinations, and the people who read one article, like the death of George Jackson, do not understand why that is a political murder and why it is tied into the murder of John Kennedy or how it is tied in. So the format of our weekly show is to take the news each week. When I go home after making a tape at the studio, I take the newspaper articles the following day, and every day in the news or articles that are coming to me from periodicals during this particular week, and or from Time Magazine this week, the weekly news, and I put it in a box and put it aside and then pull out, before I come to the show, documents or evidence or examples of where these people are connected to the political assassinations that took place, so that we go from the present to the past and make predictions on the future based upon the research. I think the TV show was really exciting because I talk about the Warren Report all the time, and I could hold it and people could see it, and it's like some mystery thing. Is this what this book is? A lot of people don't realize that it is small. It's just 800 pages, or it's condensed into a paperback. And when I talk about the commission's hearings, the members of the Warren Commission that met, and the witness testimony, I brought so that people could see pictures of those volumes. I brought two to the studio. There's 26 volumes. And I brought one notebook of my research, and I have several hundred. And it was great for people. It became alive for them to see that you're not just playing around with words, that these are actual books that exist. And they held them and could look at them.
You had quite a response to the show that you did on AM and on the television show.
Yeah.
And you feel that you're reaching
a wide,
just all areas.
All areas. The response on KLRB in the beginning was strong and good. And we have mentioned that the young people have been dropping out too much. They go away. They solve their problems since the death of their leaders and the loss of any chance to change the system. A lot have passed away to the drug scene, or they have indifference or apathy, or they become revolutionaries and they feel that what I'm saying is too academic, that they want to blow things up and get out on the streets and have a good battle, or leave the country. These are the three solutions to the problems we're having among so many of the young people. But I have faith in another group of young people, and I call it the crusade, the battle with the pen, the fountain pen, and your people, I call them the children of the rock station, were riding to Washington, deluging them with letters, responding. They weren't all copping out, and there were enough of them to make congressmen take notice, to make officials in Washington take notice, to make Mr. Evel Young or the Attorney General write a letter to KLRB defending his position in Los Angeles. So just on this station alone, we got a tremendous response. But we also got people from Fort Ord, enlisted men, officers, sons of generals, army families, people from the postgraduate school wanted me to go out to talk to their officers. And I am so excited because I have said right from the beginning, this is not a political issue of one particular group or thing, Gloria. And I am thrilled that these people, I would like to get all of them together on one thing, that what we're talking about, political assassinations, is not separate. It affects the black, the white, the rich, the poor. It's going to affect the Jew versus the Gentile. It takes the military people, the hard-line generals from West Point will be killed off by an intelligence group if they don't fit into a system, and I have evidence to document this. The old guard conservative, who is not a fascist but is a conservative, will die as the German conservative died. The ones who defended Hitler, who put him into power, were part of the Nazi machine. The ones who sat back and took no steps, even though they had wealth and education, were still bombed by the same bombs. When England came over and dropped bombs upon those roofs, the people that were affected were the housewives, and rich or poor, there were no boundaries. So that people have called me registered Republicans, military people. I talk to them. They reach me through the station. I call them back. I will spend time with them. Each person is sharing his feelings with me. I walked into Monterey yesterday, and people came up to me and wanted to know more. They said, "We're glad. We always felt something was wrong." I would love to take a poll on this peninsula, you know, of how many people know that something was wrong with the assassinations, and then I would like to sit with them week after week and tell them how their lives would be affected if they would take the program seriously. And I would like them to take it seriously. I've said that all along, you know.
This could sort of be considered as a course of instruction, don't you think?
This is what I would like it to be. I don't want it to be a one-night fling. I think if you took a writing course, or if you take a language course, you know that at Wednesday from 6 to 7, you've got a class. And I am sitting here giving my services. I don't get any money for it. Nobody is making anything from this. I've done 7 years' work, and I will share it with you. I will talk with you individually. I talk with you as groups. If you really care, I will not put you down. I don't have time for you, like the politician does, you see. And if you take a pencil, and I'm talking slower. Last week, I was incensed about the Attica prison thing. I came in here like a full motor speeding. I have been told over and again, I think 100 times, the biggest criticism of the 11-week shows is we talk too fast. I talk too fast. So I'm going to slow down. Even if you only get one-third of what I say, I'm going to slow down because I want you to have your pencil and I want you to take the names of books, and I want you to take the names of magazines. Now, there is a problem, because I get enthusiastic and I get excited or I get anxious to share 1 week's news with you. And it is so unfair. It's absolutely a balancing act. And I lay out, as I say, the articles that I would share with you. So as a problem last night in trying to decide what is primary to talk about today, I had piles on my desk of articles. And I'm going to read to you, to show you how my mind works, what we could discuss, each one of these subjects today, in depth. And you will see the simple problem of mathematics of the hour and the minutes to cover it.
There's no possible way we can cover everything that's on this list, right?
No, and we have talked, Gloria, about should one entire show be on just one subject, or do you briefly take the news of the whole week just to show how it pertains to the assassination?
Well, maybe, May, by reading this list of things that you could talk about today,
yes,
maybe it will give them a chance to, like, go to their newspapers
and see
and pick out some of these
articles
that you will mention.
Yeah, because
and we will discuss, like, maybe one or two, but you did want to bring up a murder in San Jose today.
I'll bring up a few of these things, and, yes, because when we talk about them, Gloria, remember, we're only talking about the subject. If I mention one subject, I may already have 40 articles on that subject. I went home from here, and I was too emotional about the men being shot down in New York. I should have handled it in a more cool way. So I went home this week, and under the file of Attica, New York, I made a cross file, and this is how I do my research. I broke down subject matters of the different articles that were coming out, 40 articles that had come out in the 1 week, and I made a column on one page of all the first accounts of what happened, such as the throats were slashed, or this many men were killed, and so forth. Then on the next to it, on the right-hand side, I made a column of the early accounts which had been changed that were untrue. Then I have another section on what actually did happen and a composite part, what could have happened, the alternate thing. For example, what actually happened was that Rockefeller refused to see them, and what could have happened was that he could have met the intermediaries. They didn't ask him to see the prisoners, but the people that were congregated as the go-between, he refused to meet them. Then I made another section on actual battle lines, how many people came in, where they came from, and the mechanics of taking over the place. Well, anyway, I went into about 14 or 20 subject categories just on Attica so that I could understand it, not in an emotional way, but an academic way. A column of who defended Governor Rockefeller and what reasons, and then a column of who attacked his procedure and what their reasons were, so that I get a picture a little better of what's happening. Now, this week, lining up what we could talk 1 hour on each problem, number one on our Monterey Peninsula, because we'll take our local area. The trial of Billy Smith is coming up at Fort Ord. It is going to be a big trial. There were 200 people demonstrating, including members of Billy's family, in front of Fort Ord this weekend on Saturday. Why is the Billy Smith trial political, related to the political assassinations? For the simple reason that Luke McKissick is the attorney representing Billy Smith. And any attorney that has worked on the major political assassinations of the United States, who worked with Jack Ruby, Sirhan Sirhan, or James Ray, or the Manson case in Los Angeles, I watched those attorneys. I want to know who brought them into the case. I want to know how they're going to defend them, because my particular study is political assassinations. Now, last week, we talked about an article in Computers and Automation on the problem in just of having a just trial in Nazi Germany, that when a new book came out, or it's an old book which I ordered, on takeover of Nazi Germany, where 400 political people were murdered, up from World War I up till 1932, when Hitler finally took total power. And in the process of murdering these people, the courts, the big problem they had was to make the courts look like the guilty were innocent and the innocent were guilty. And there was a manipulation of the judges and the lawyers in not handling the evidence of the case. And therefore, I know that this happened in Nazi Germany. I know it parallels in this country. But whenever an attorney like Luke McKissick, has been with Sirhan Sirhan, and I save every article on those cases and his position and what he said about his client and what he could have done for his client that he didn't do that might have proved Sirhan didn't fire the fatal bullet a year ago, and Luke McKissick would not come up and speak about that. I want to see if the Billy Smith thing is going to be used as a political tool for the 72 elections involving black emotions. And I watch Luke McKissick because he's on the peninsula. And we will do something on that trial, but I want that is a subject that I study. Another thing I could talk about would be the continuation in the Sirhan case in Los Angeles. I want to talk about the articles of the connection of the people involved in there with the CIA, the FBI, the mafia. It was current in the news again this week because it brings up the subject of the Attorney General John Mitchell and how he does not send men to go into the mafia problems. And it was there was an article this week how he has few agents really working with the mafia where he could. And when you connect the FBI with the Sirhan case, you know why John Mitchell doesn't go after the mafia the way he should. Another newsletter, we talk about George Jackson. That is definitely a political assassination. Almost every week, I talk about the newsletters from Germany from Joe Justine. He has worked, he wrote the first book on the John Kennedy assassination. It's called Oswald, Assassin or Fall Guy. And Justine has written 7 or 8 books, I forget now, on the political assassinations. He has a 5-page newsletter that comes out of Germany every 2 weeks. And one page is usually on the accident at Chappaquiddick with Ted Kennedy or the evidence in Los Angeles now with the Sirhan or what Jim Garrison's doing in New Orleans. One of his pages in Germany came over on the murder of George Jackson in the state of California. These go all over the world, all over the United States. Justine is on the same brainwave I am, and he sees this, and a lot of people see it as a political murder. He puts it in the classification with the Kennedys and Martin Luther King. Also in his newsletter...
Yeah, I see that he mentioned you.
He mentions in the newsletter Mrs. Mae Brussel of Carmel, California, and he gives the address for the other researchers. A devoted truth letter reader is an active researcher and investigator in her own right. She has a weekly radio show on KLRB-FM. Every Wednesday, 6 to 7 in Carmel, California, where she deftly takes apart the week's lies spewed out by the Washington, especially as they pertain to any or all assassinations. And he goes into a comment about how Washington is taking note of these and wants the tapes. He says, great job, May, more power to you. So when we talk about George Jackson, and maybe we'll get back to that for a few minutes, the new evidence in that case, we could do a whole show on that. Then should I talk to you about Attica, New York, which I cross-filed so carefully? And William Buckley, very smug again, says that the evidence that was given out about the throats being cut was, if it was done, it was innocently deceptive. It was just done innocently. It had to be stupidity. That the original order to go in and kill everybody was based on evidence which William Buckley defends as being innocently deceptive. We could talk, the fifth subject I would like to talk about is legal problems in the state of California as they pertain to political assassinations, the grand jury system investigation, the new autopsy of Judge Haley up in Marin County. It seems that Judge Haley's autopsy was altered 1 year after his killing. The shootout in that Angela Davis is being held for and the others. That autopsy was altered 1 year after the killing of Judge Haley. Now, why is that important? Because in my 28,000 pages of research on the John Kennedy assassination, I have maybe 200 pages of a book called Evidence. And I have a cross-filing system of five or six sections. One is evidence missing, totally missing, thrown away. And it would pertain, like, to the Robert Kennedy, even where the gun that is alleged to be held by Sirhan has been thrown away. But in the John Kennedy, evidence missing, evidence altered, evidence unaccounted for that is around but nobody will tell where, and evidence which is changed, that is evidence altered, like photographs of Oswald's rifle that didn't have a scope on it, and then when the book depository and the police officials said, oh, Klein's it came from clients with a scope attached, then Life magazine draws a scope on. And then they find out that it was attached later. When the evidence alters, the photographic labs can put a scope on or take it off and sell it on the cover of Life magazine and admit under testimony they alter it and draw in a scope or take it out, depending how it goes. See, the first evidence on the John Kennedy was that the rifle, a man named Mr. Ryder in Irving, Texas, said, "I have the name of a man, Oswald, who came in last week and had a scope put on." So Life magazine published a picture of Oswald, gets a negative, and says, this picture, because it was taken in April, didn't have a scope because the scope wasn't attached until November. Then when the FBI gets a tip-off that the gun came from Klein's in Chicago and the order said it arrived with a scope, Life magazine puts the scope back on. So in Upper Marin County, the autopsy of the judge of the direction the bullets came from, they're going to exhume Judge Haley because the direction that he may have been shot from the back as an excuse to have this confrontation. They're going to suggest exhuming this body. I would like to exhume all the bodies of the victims of political assassinations. So that, we could do an hour on that. Now, should we talk about Ted Kennedy? That is not so much in the news, except that he's campaigning everywhere. He was off in Israel, and we talked about his Pakistan trip. And I have had about five calls saying, would you do an entire show on the Chappaquiddick affair, because it affects the 72 elections, whether people will accept his credibility. So we'll have to do that. Another thing in the news, if you take Time magazine this week, you'll see a picture of Melvin Belli, the attorney for the Kaplan Fund, a young boy in jail in Mexico, heir to a fund, the head of a CIA foundation, was airlifted by a helicopter out of that jail up to Sausalito. Melvin Belli is working with him. Everybody associated with the assassination teams is connected to CIA foundations. If I didn't find out 1 year later, I found out 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 6 years. 7 years later, here's a picture of Melvin Belli. So I get out my book on foundations because I save all articles on all these foundations, particularly since 1967, and trace the Kaplan Foundation to Friends of the Middle East, which is an anti-Jewish funding of money to the Middle East through a CIA foundation or other conduits of funds. And I try to see if Melvin Belli represents this Kaplan. How did he get in on the Ruby case? Now it's open just in an establishment magazine like Time magazine. He represents the Kaplan Fund. Try being in jail someday. The boy bought an airplane for $25,000, so the person who rented wouldn't be part of a suit, and was airlifted out of a Mexican jail because he inherited some money. And his attorney is the same attorney that was called in to represent Jack Ruby. This was not Ruby's, the real person who could have defended Ruby. This was the Melvin Belli who tried to make Ruby look like the village idiot in spite of the evidence that Ruby had very important contacts. So we could talk about the Dreyfus Fund that came in the news last week, how Mr. Nixon was vacationing in the Northern Eastern State Board, and there wasn't much play up of that. We hear about him down in San Clemente or Florida, but he was with the Dreyfus family, who not only funds Richard Nixon, but Eugene McCarthy. McCarthy got the go-ahead last year. It was in last Sunday's paper. He got the go-ahead. The article in last Sunday's paper was about Nixon vacationing with the Dreyfus family. But in January, Eugene McCarthy was considering whether he should run in 72. And my article says to the effect, if you want to go, money is no problem. And we'll finance you. And this was the Dreyfus Fund. And I've said before that McCarthy was linked to the CIA. Why does that make the news? Because a Representative Brown in the state of California is investigating campaign money in the state of California, particularly former Senator Murphy and other people. And I know that campaign money for our electoral system, if we're talking about having a democracy, the campaign money is coming from the CIA funds and foundations under the table. And these people don't have to have lunches at the Republican clubs or be met at the airport or all. They do a little bit of it, but it's mostly flying. The candidates can fly from military base to military base. And the underlings will, fly all over and campaign and meet people and shake hands and kiss the babies. But the candidates, the actual candidates, get their funds from these foundations. And I think that it's important to go in the article about investigating former Senator Murphy's campaigns. He was on the salary payroll of Patrick Frawley of Technicolor and Schick. They're very far right wing. Senator Murphy is now a full-time paid lobbyist for Chiang Kai-shek in Washington. And if we're talking about 1972 elections and power structure, I pick up an article where Mr. Brown wants to go into campaign money. I pull out my foundation money. I pull out the Papa's Foundation, who funds Spiro Agnew. And I say, if you want to have campaigns, you have to know who is putting up the money, television time or anything, for your candidates. Now we could go into the scandal in Texas, that stock fraud, because the Attorney General, Assistant Attorney General Will Wilson, a friend of Mr. Mitchell's, is involved in a $100 million scandal in Texas. And I have a whole file. I'm reading you titles. I could spend 5 or 6 hours or 12 hours tonight and tomorrow morning doing the Texas scandal and how public officials can cover up and get away with things that you people could never do, and yet you give them the authority to write your economy package. Now we could do a new book review in Time Magazine. There's an article this week about Reinhard Gehlen, one of the most important men that is living in the world today. Reinhard Gehlen was the head of the espionage system in Nazi Germany, and he had a network of spies set up all of Eastern Europe. And when he saw that Hitler was to be defeated by the Russians, he worked with Alan Dulles and lived in a villa in Germany, was never tried for war crimes, turned over all of his agents to our CIA. Get your Time Magazine, September the 20th. It's fascinating. And I have many articles on Reinhard Gehlen. He has a new book coming out. Now the book has been banned temporarily in some areas of Europe. The reason the book is coming out is to keep the Cold War going, to keep us against Russia. He is very strongly Nazi, and it is his agents, the Gehlen operation, that I feel is responsible for bringing in emigre groups into Monterey. I know the ones that live in Carmel, Monterey, some of them. Every city of the United States, Reinhard Gehlen has foreign emigre people that have been brought into the United States. And these people can be used at the time of political assassinations as witnesses to think on somebody and give evidence that is wrong. And this espionage system is a complicated one, but there is a book review of his book called The Service in Time Magazine, and we'll do a whole show on Reinhard Gehlen, Marina Oswald, the Sirhan family, and why Reinhard Gehlen is important to the assassination story. Last week we read some more from Sputnik. It's the first magazine coming out of the Soviet Union in 7 years talking about the John Kennedy murder. After 7 years, the Soviet Union is telling their version of the Dallas story. And we read consecutively for 2 weeks about Sputnik, the confrontation of Lyndon Johnson with the new president, John Kennedy. The second section we read about the decision to come to Dallas with John Connolly. So I was frustrated. Do I go on to the present news or do I read about Sputnik? The last section that I wanted to read today was how at the funeral of John Kennedy, John J. McCloy of the CIA took all the foreign dignitaries aside and said, if you think there was a conspiracy, keep a lid on it in your country. And the last section of the first issue of Sputnik goes into how the foreign dignitaries were told it's not good for your country or for the Cold War if you talk about a conspiracy. And that backs up the documents I have from the archives, which we want to read each week, on the fact, the minutes of the meeting, of how they were to send Alan Dulles to Germany or to Europe or France, and John J. McCloy and members of the commission, when the Warren Report came out, were to go all over Europe and tell the heads of the government this is the official version and it would be not of any use to your country to question our version. Shall we go on with what we could? This is the table of contents of what happened this week. This is the resume. I have more. We could talk about the economy and the problem. We have one economic expert in the country this week. That's Martha Mitchell. She said, go out and buy new dresses. That's the only funny thing that happened all week. She said, I told John, I'm going to go out and just buy yourself dresses. And she said, you know, I went to Europe this summer and there's just nothing going over Europe. It's all in America and it's time. She said, nothing is made any better than it's made in America. We make the very best. And she said, if you want to help the economy, you run out and get yourself some clothes. She didn't say that our salaries or your salaries are frozen. You don't get more money if you buy the dresses, but the profits are not taxed. There's no lid on the profit if somebody made a profit off your dress.